so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you thankful that he thought you were worth saving? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. You can be seated for a moment. Amen. Just want to greet you in the name of the Lord. And nice to see everyone out this morning on a Sunday morning. Amen. Resurrection morning. And just appreciate the Lord's goodness to us. Amen. How many loves the Lord? Amen. Amen. You love Him. And, you know, when you really love Him like you should, everything else just takes a backseat, doesn't it? You know? Amen. It's like that song says, you can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. Sure, we have things in this life that we enjoy and things that we strive for and work towards and all that, but at the end of the day, we leave it all behind. Amen. We press to the mark of the high calling of Christ because we love Him. Amen. Amen. You love Him that way? Amen. Our heart's just full of love for Him because He first loved us. Amen. Amen. I trust that's why you've come today. Amen. God bless you to our visitors that have come this morning. We just pray that you would be able to, amen, enter in and the joys of the Lord, and amen. We come to meet with Him this morning. We haven't come to meet with each other to hear, you know, a speaker or anything, or to hear good music. As much as we appreciate that, we've come to meet with our God. Amen. Our Creator. Amen. The one who created you, who made you for a purpose. That's why we've come. It's an honor. Amen. It's a privilege. It's not something that we should take lightly. Amen. Amen. And we just are thankful that our pastor's been able to get out for a little vacation. They're up in Alaska catching fish as fast as they can. And I was on a little chat with Brother Baker and some other ministers, and he was on there real late at night replying. And he replied something that was he answered the wrong question or something totally, you know, out of context of the conversation. And he apologized. He said, "I'm sorry, I'm texting you with one hand and catching salmon with the other." So I think the brother replied, "Well, okay, then," you know, kind of like, good problem to have. Wish I was there with you. So I trust that he's having a real nice time. And amen, that the Lord will really bless them. Saw some of the pictures of, they caught lots of fish, so amen. It's appropriate that a minister fishes, amen. He's fishing for souls and during work and for recreation, he's fishing for fish, amen. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord this morning? Amen. Everybody feel good? I feel a little tense this morning. So we just want to relax, amen, and just let the Lord have His way, amen, amen. You know, this is family, amen. We're just gathered around the table, amen. We're just gathered around some gather in the kitchen, some gather in the dining room, wherever they gather, we're gathered around the table of the Lord. Amen. And we want Him to feed us. Amen. Amen. Is that your desire?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. If you'd stand this morning, we'll read a portion of Scripture here. Amen. Luke chapter 11. You know, Brother Eli expressed just what was on my heart. You know, we've had when you have world-class evangelists come through, and two right in a row, our brother John Andes and then our brother Andrew Glover, were two right in a row, and world-class evangelists, you know, we're privileged. And like that, you just think, man, I feel sorry for the four poor brothers that have to preach after him. And I was thanking the Lord that I didn't have to preach Wednesday. And then I was thinking, oh, but that means I'm up right after that. And, oh, you know, it's just human nature. We realize, of course, that everything is according to God's plan and God's word. And you know, it doesn't matter, right? But yet you have those human feelings. So he expressed that. And that, I say amen to that, Brother Eli. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Amen. And I trust that's what we're searching for today. We're looking for our daily bread. Amen. And forgive us our sins, that we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is also recorded in the book of Matthew. And Matthew adds on to the end of that where Jesus says, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we just are so grateful once again, Lord, to be in this place. Father, it's another opportunity for us here, Lord, while we have breath in our bodies, Lord, while we have life in this mortal flesh, Lord, to express our love for you and to worship you and to lift you up, Lord, and to praise you and to walk in victory of your word, Lord, to defeat Satan at every turn, to defeat the enemy who tries to bind us up and to keep us down and to slow us down. But Lord, you've promised the victory for us. So we're here reporting to duty this morning, Father, asking, Lord, that you would give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, Lord, as we forgive those that have sinned and trespassed against us, Lord. Because we know, Lord God, that what is done in heaven will be done here on earth. We thank you, Father, for your word. I pray that you would take complete control, Lord, of every part of this service, Lord. Anoint, Lord, your people to hear and receive your word, Lord. Father, not my word, but your word. May we be able to hear the voice within the voice this morning. The one who created us, speaking back to us down in our souls, in our innermost being. Father, I pray that you would speak to us that way. Speak to us, Lord, in a private way, Lord. Each one, Lord, as we have need, just where we're at in life, Lord, just where we're at in whatever trials or temptations we're facing, I pray to you that you speak to every need, Lord, and we give you the praise and honor and glory for it. We thank you for it in advance, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. Amen. So this, of course, is known. We've described this as the model prayer, where his disciples asked Jesus and said, teach us to pray, and he gives them this sort of formula, right? And many religions and denominations and places have taken that, and they repeat that word for word as a prayer. But that really wasn't his intention. His intention was to teach them how to pray. Right? It wasn't repeat after me. It was this in this manner, in this way. When you approach God, this is how you're going to pray. And today I want to look at how Jesus himself prayed. Because we actually have recorded in the Bible Jesus praying. Amen. And so I'd like to look at that and just title our subject this morning, Our Father. Amen. And I love how Jesus starts out the model prayer with that, where he says, Our Father. Amen. He didn't say, My Father. right, to exclude someone else. But he includes all of them. Amen. He says, look, he's our Father. Amen. He's including you and me. Amen. Come on, now you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe that he's including you?
Yes.
Why? Because we're part of the family of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Raise your hand if you're part of the family of God.
Yes.
Amen. And if you're part of the family of God, you have a Father that loves you.
Yes.
That means we're brothers and sisters. That's why we call ourselves, we say brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Why? Because they're our brothers and our sisters. We all have the same Father.
Right.
Amen? We're all his children. You know, in other families, you've got first cousin and second cousin, and oh, that's so-and-so, my second cousin once removed. And you got to keep track of this family tree, right? Well, who's this person? Oh, that's your third cousin by your Aunt Matilda once removed. Right? And as a kid, you go to these family reunions and you're like, I don't know who any of these people are. But it's real simple in the family of God. We have Father and we have brothers and sisters. There's no grandchildren. There's no other level. Right? That family tree doesn't have multiple levels. We're all equal, all the same. We're all sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Children of him. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean we're all the same. Thank God for that. Amen. We all talk different. We have different accents. We have different hobbies. Amen. But when you look around, and when I, you know, sometimes I like to just come into church and I just like to look around. And I like to see what God is doing in our brother and sister's lives. And see how everyone is different and everyone is unique. And they all have different likes and dislikes. You know, people would put on Facebook or something how they like this particular thing or like to do that. And I shake my head and go, well, I'm glad they like it. You know, that's not me. Amen. But you like something that I don't like, and I like something that you don't like. But it's part of God's great bouquet. It's part of God's, you know, how he hasn't created every flower exactly the same. You know, we were driving into church, and it's like the butterfly, you know, migration or something, right? And we're driving through these clouds of butterflies, and I'm trying to stay on the road and watch the butterflies at the same time. And they're all seems like they're different. You know, so many different colors and shapes and sizes. Brother, sister, our God is a big God. He has variety. Amen. Amen. And so we should never despise what God is doing in our brother or our sister. We should never look down on their gift or their purpose in life. Amen. And you should never look down on what God is doing in your life. That's a trick of the enemy to get you to look down and say, well, I'm just nothing. I'm just low. I'm, you know. Everybody else is up here and I'm way down there, and what God is doing in my life is either he's not working in my life or nothing's happening. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me read you a little statement from the Comforter. He says, oh, isn't he a good God? Jesus is so good to us, and it's well expressed that our God is a good God, and he is so good to his children. He has provided every good thing for us. Everything that we have need of, he has provided it.
Amen.
Truly, you could say, our Father who art in heaven, because he is a Father. And though we might be disobedient, though we be arrogant, he still provides for us just the same.
Amen.
Whether we're good or whether we're bad, he gives us food to eat, clothes to wear, house to dwell in. Oh, he's so good.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. You say, even though I'm disobedient, yeah, because he knows the end.
Yes. Yes.
He knows who are his, and he knows where they're going to end up.
Yes.
Amen. All you have to do is look at Saul, who was persecuting the church of God.
Right.
And yet God was watching over his life.
Right.
You believe that? He watches over his children. And then eventually they'll get in line. If we could just look around and count the good things that he is to us. We don't stop to consider it. Amen? We should stop to consider it today.
Amen.
Amen. We should think about what God has done in our lives.
Amen.
The goodness of God to us. And he starts to use sort of absurd examples, but we need to think about these things. He says, what if you had no eyes? Well, there are people that are blind, right? What if you had no nose, no mouth, no ears? What if you had no feet or limbs and could not walk around? But see, he provided you feet. What if you had no eyes and could not see, and yet you could hear noises, but you knew not what they were? Now, them is all fine in the five senses he provides. And we trust you might not have one of those. You might lose one, but think about what you do have.
Amen?
Amen? He says them five senses is that he provides, but then, now listen to this, if we'll just live close to him, he'll provide something else for us. That is an insight that we can see that the ordinary person never sees.
Right.
When we're born again, we see him.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. You know him. You have seen him. He will abide with you forever. Oh, he's a good father. He's a fountain of goodness. The great resource of all goodness and fatherhood belongs in our God. He's so good to his believing children.
Amen.
Amen. So we should take time to think about these things, not just the natural things that he's given us, but the fact that you can hear his voice.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, you say, well, that, you know, this is pretty simple, right? Well, this is good medicine.
Yeah.
If you struggle with depression, amen, when the enemy comes against you, he's not going to tell you this, but this is how you defeat him.
Yeah.
You begin to remind him of the goodness of God. When you're feeling down and it's an anointing, amen, that comes and it tries to defeat you, you defeat it with reminding that demon how good God is. My God is God and he is my Father and he's good. Look what he's done for me. And look what he's promised me. You begin to think about your blessings. Amen. How's that old song go? Think about your blessings. Name them one by one. Amen. That, you know, that may be like a child's rhyme or something, but it's the truth anyhow.
Yes, amen.
Yep. Amen. People that are discontent are that way because they don't think about what they have.
Yeah.
Amen. They think about what they don't have.
Right.
Amen. Paul said, I want to be content in every situation that I find myself. Yes. The Bible says that contentment with godliness is great gain.
Yes.
Why? Because if you're discontent, you're complaining about what God has done for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're looking at what the Father has provided you and saying, well, that's nice, but it ain't this. Amen. Throwing it back in his face. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful that you can hear the word. Amen. I'll tell you, brother, sister, that I did not grow up going to a church like this. You should be thankful that you have a church like this. Amen. I know what it's like. Amen. And I'm thankful to God that I can come and hear the word being preached.
Amen.
Don't take that for granted. We have eyes that we can see, not just natural eyes, but spiritual eyes. We've seen God begin to unveil himself to us. We see what he's doing in this day.
Amen.
We're not being led astray, but we have the word of God. Amen. We have a sure word of prophecy.
Yeah.
Amen. And he's opened our eyes to it.
Yeah.
So that we can see it and we're not being pulled this way and that way.
Amen.
This pandemic has brought that out.
Yeah.
Amen. Where people are screaming, oh, don't do this. That's the mark of the beast. Don't do that. That's the Antichrist. And we know.
Yeah.
Of all people, we know how these things are to be.
Yeah.
We don't need to be pulled about to the left and the right. We know what the word says. We have a sure word. We need to stay with it. We need to thank God for it. Appreciate it. Amen. When you love something, you hold on to it. Amen. He said that we have an insight. I love how he puts that. An insight or a revelation. Amen. That we can see what the ordinary person can't see. Never sees. What is it? God revealing himself. Oh, hallelujah. If he's revealed himself to you, brother, sister, you ought to be the happiest person on the face of the earth. That God has chosen to reveal himself to you. All goodness flows from him. Amen. Hallelujah. This is from the message, the world is falling apart. Oh, the world is again falling apart. And again and again and again, it seems like, right? But you see, when they ask these things and ask for this, they don't ask as Jesus said. We try to make God like an errand boy. Right. Oh my. Lord, do this for me, and you do this for me, and you go to do that, telling him what to do. But Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done. Who find where we do that, we're always wanting God to run errands for us or to do something for us. But when we're willing to say, thy will be done.
Amen.
Commit ourselves to him, commit our ways to him, all that we are committed to him, and that's when God will move. When you're willing to let him work on you.
Amen.
Not you work on him. Amen. Let him tell you, not you tell him. You twist it around. How? My, how we approach the Father. Amen. The Bible says that the fear of God, which is reverence and respect.
Amen.
Amen. Is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding. We approach him with love and thanksgiving and respect.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Trusting him. Not, oh God, change this situation. No, change me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's not a pushover, brother, sister. He's not someone that you have to try to manipulate with your prayers.
It's true.
Amen. Well, if I can just find the right way to say it, I can manipulate God to moving on my behalf. No. He's not that way. He's not an errand boy. Amen? Our Father's job is to not to satisfy your wants. Now, you know what an errand boy is? Maybe let me break that down in case somebody doesn't realize the picture that he's painting here. Imagine somebody who's important. Right? The actual definition is someone who runs errands for somebody else who's important. Right? So a person whose job it is to do whatever the important person decides they need done. Okay? So in this scene, you're the important person. Self-important. Right? A self-important person that needs something done. Well, I want this done, so God, go do this for me. Right, that would be making him an errand boy. The errand boy sits off to the side. Right, he's not involved in the decisions that are made. Imagine like a head of a company, like a CEO or something. Right, he doesn't call the errand boy and say, "Hey, errand boy, we're making a decision on the business. What do you think we should do?" No, the errand boy sits over in the corner until called upon. Sit over there until I need you. Until I get in a situation where I need something done. And then it's, errand boy, you know, then we give him our attention. He's not to be called upon or seen or heard from until we need him. And then we rely on him getting something done for us. That's an errand boy. Amen? And then once the errand is complete, we receive what we need. Then back to the corner with you. I have my business to attend to.
Wow.
Amen. He's bringing out in here, Brother Branham is telling us that's what people make God. An errand boy. But he is not that. He's Lord of all. Amen. He's the CEO. Amen. He's the one that makes the decisions. His rightful place is Lord. King. Amen. Ruler of your heart. Ruler of my heart. Ruler of every part of our lives. Amen. That he would lead us and guide us. That he would make the decisions for us. That we would lean on him and not lean to our own understanding, but cast ourselves upon him and let him lead us and guide us and show us, Lord, what is thy will, not my will. And change my will, O God, to conform to your will. Lord, let me be conformed to your word. Lord, let me live the way you want me to live. Amen. And then when you're walking that way and you come upon a circumstance or a situation, then you call out to him, not as an errand boy, but as Lord, as general of the host, and say, God, you sent me to do this. And this demon's trying to get in my way. This demon from hell's trying to steal my health. He's trying to steal my joy. God, I pray, Lord, that you would remove that obstacle from my way so I can walk in your will. Amen. And then that's when the power of heaven comes down. Amen. And defeats every enemy. Our Father. Amen. He's in charge. Hallelujah. But we get self-important. Amen. And we let my will take over his will. And override his will. And it becomes what we think about and what we dwell on. It's my will and my desires instead of his will, his desires. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So let's look at Jesus praying. Would that be all right this morning? Jesus, in John chapter 17, the entire chapter is Jesus praying. Amen. We have a whole chapter in the Bible showing us how Jesus prayed. In verse 1, it says, then spake these words. These words spake Jesus. Lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, O Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Amen. Amen. He starts out, Father. Amen. And he's speaking about glorification. May God be glorified. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That should be the first thing that we think about. When we're approaching God, Lord, I want you to be seen and glorified. I want you to be magnified. I want to be little and you to be big.
Amen.
God be glorified in all things. If there is any good thing pointed to in our life, if people look at our life and say, well, look at that. Look at that success. Look at that strength. Look at that whatever it may be. May they see God through that.
Yes. Yes.
May they know that that was God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That he be glorified in all things. Amen. And there should be those fruits of the Spirit. There should be joy and peace and thanksgiving. Amen. There should be overcoming. There should be, the Bible says that signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. People should see the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. But not that we would get glory. Is that right?
Amen.
Galatians 5:24 says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Amen. There is no, there is a glory that is vain. Self-conceited glory. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It has no lasting value. It doesn't point to anything eternal. An example would be an athlete, right? Glory, great glory here on earth. Man, you won the whatever championship. You got the gold medal, the greatest, the top. You're the best in the world. Everybody giving glory. Next year, somebody different. Right. Oh no, forget that guy. This one's the best, right? Vain glory. No lasting value, doesn't add up to nothing. Great, you got a trophy that you can put on your shelf. Now it's collecting dust. Amen? One day it's going to burn. Vain glory. Amen? Let us not be desirous of that type of glory. But let us provoke one another to good works, the Bible says. Amen? Manifesting the Spirit of Christ. We don't envy one another. We don't provoke one another. We're brothers and sisters. We don't envy one another's gifts or manifestations. If somebody has a miracle in their life, you don't try and nitpick and figure out, you know, well, yeah, but they have this weakness. Well, so what? God did something for them. You don't have to be jealous of it. He's your Father too. They didn't do it. He did it. Amen. You say, well, they're taking credit for it. Well, don't matter. He still did it. You give him glory for it. Amen. Let's be concerned with what he wants. Amen. What he wants to do in your life. Yes, I said your life. There is a glory to be revealed in you. Amen. Okay. I can tell some of you need to say that. There is a glory to be revealed in me. Amen. Say that. There is a glory to be revealed in me. Say, well, let me have Bible for it. Okay. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay, so now can you say it? There is a glory to be revealed in me. Amen. That's all right if you want to wait and see it out of the Word. There's no problem with that. Amen. The glory which shall be. Amen. There's those words again. Shall. Not might, maybe. Right? It's shall. Positive. Sufferings that we go through now shall not be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Each member of this body, each member of the bride of Christ, the called out church of the living God, each child, each of our brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. Being perfected and the glory of God, the glory of this faith. Amen. The glory of this word being unveiled and revealed, manifested. That glory, amen, revealed in them. So when that old devil comes to you and says, you ain't worth nothing, you say, there's a glory to be revealed in me. I might be the humblest person in the church of God, but Satan, there's still a glory. There's still a plan for my life. There's still something God wants to reveal that he can only reveal through me. Amen. Amen. And then that whole body, all those individuals as a whole, all reveal the glory of Christ as his bride. Amen. A worthy bride for a worthy husband. Hallelujah. She's not sitting over there saying, oh, I'm not worthy. No, you know, why do you love me? And, you know, pushing him away because how could he love me? No, she understands what he's done for her. She understands that she's clothed in righteousness. Not her righteousness, but His righteousness. That He hath made us worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, what a glory to be revealed in us, brother, sister. It's His glory. There's no greater glory. Amen. I don't want my glory to be revealed. Amen. It's just a puny little, tiny little thing, little light compared to the sun, compared to His glory. Amen. But men, women are seeking their own vainglory. My. John chapter 17, verse 2. That was the first verse. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, in this, where he says, thou, that's Father, right? And he, him, that's him. Amen? It can be kind of confusing with the words there. But he's saying, Father, you have given Christ power over all flesh, right? And the Bible says that all that the Father hath given, he said, all that the Father hath given me will come. Amen. That was his word early in his ministry. Now at the end, he's saying, you have given as many as you have given me, I've given them eternal life. Amen. His believing children. Now, I want you to think about this. He says that he would give them eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So there are some that God the Father gave to the Son. He gave to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus said, as many as the Father hath given me. Think about that. There were those that he gave. And Christ acknowledged and said, there are those that you have given me.
Amen.
Now he's not just talking about his disciples. He's not just talking about those that were physically with him. Amen?
Amen?
There's a lot more that get eternal life through Christ. But those that he's given are in his hands. They've been entrusted. Just as Jesus, God in flesh, entrusted himself into Mary and Joseph's hands. Think about it. God became flesh in the flesh of a little baby, and he entrusted his food and his care and his warmth to two humans that he created. Amen? But, brother, sister, he said the Father had some in his mind. He had some that he gave to Christ. And he says, I have them, and I will not lose one of them.
Amen.
Completely entrusting their salvation. He says, God, the Father is the invisible Spirit God. All the fullness of God, all that God was, he poured into Christ. He became a man. Jesus of Nazareth, and to that man he committed his jewels, his children, completely entrusting them and their salvation to the God-man.
Amen?
Amen. Because they were with him back there, they would be able to hear his voice. Here.
Amen.
Amen. The Father has given this bride to Christ as a love gift.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He's given her to him. Now, brother, sister, don't you think he'd want to give, like, the best gift he could? Amen? Don't you think he'd want to give him something special, something precious, something of great value, a love gift? Amen. It wasn't a hate gift. Amen. Some of us think that of our spouse sometimes. Amen. This was my loved gift from God. Amen. This man that you gave me. Amen. Adam in the garden. Adam, what happened? That woman that you gave me. She caused me, right? You know that love gift that you gave me? Amen. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen. But you see, God had a perfect match for the Son. The groom has a perfect bride to match. It's God's loved gift to the bride, to the groom. Oh my. Amen. Let's continue on. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Glorifying God. How does he glorify God? How does he glorify the Father? How does he glorify? By manifesting, declaring. How do you glorify God? Manifesting, declaring. Amen. Revealing him. Showing his character. Magnifying him. Lifting him up. Amen. Amen? When it looks like you should give up, instead you begin to praise. Amen. That's how you glorify God. Amen. Allowing the word to live through you. Amen. Being obedient to the word. Showing the power that's in the word. Amen. That's how you manifest God. Amen. That was the work that he was given to do. He said, I have finished that work. Amen. I have glorified thee in all the earth. And I have finished that work, is what he said. Now, we know that he wasn't finished with all of his work on earth, right? Because he still had to go to the cross, and at that time he said, it is finished. But the work of glorifying God to the earth, the work as prophet. Now, Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. Is that right? This is finishing up the work as prophet. And you're going to begin to see him move into the work as priest. When he goes and he becomes the sacrifice for us, he is beginning that priesthood. He's beginning to intercede. Amen. But now he has finished the work of glorifying God, proclaiming. That's what a prophet does, right? It proclaims the word of God. Amen. And brother, sister, we are not prophets per se, but we are preachers in that our lives preach the word of God. Amen. 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 And we are to glorify God on the earth. Amen. So this part of his ministry begins to ending. And at the end of it, he says, I did what you told me to do. Just like Paul. Right? He says, I have finished the course. I have run this race. I have with faithfulness done what God has told me to do. Yeah. Right? Jesus is coming up to this point and he's saying, I've done what you asked me to do. Amen. Amen. What you gavest me to do, he said. Brother, sister, oh, if we could all just say that. Amen. I want that to be my testimony when we come down to the end, amen? Amen? That I could say, Lord, I have done the work which you gave me to do. Right. Amen? Is that your desire this morning also? Amen? Just to be faithful. Right. Amen? To what he has called us to do. I did the work that you gave me. Not I made plenty of money, I was successful, everybody liked me, everybody looked up to me, amen. I was famous, I did everything I wanted to do. Man, I went on so many vacations. Right? Nothing wrong with those things, but that's not the goal. The goal is to say, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Amen. He has been faithful. And now he's going to be crowned with the glory of God. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, I believe that's worth it, don't you? Amen. Amen. How's that song go? I know it's worth it. Thank God it's worth it to make heaven my home. I know it's worth it. It's worth everything. It's worth my living, my dying, my crying, my praying. Amen. I know it's worth it. Why? Because now he says, glorify me. Amen. With thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Amen. Amen. Say, well, I don't know if I could say that, glorify me. Well, he promised that he would. Yes. Amen. So you could say, Lord, according to your promise, that's what I want. Yes. Amen. When I finish what you've called me to do, it's the glory of God. Amen. Amen. That crowns us. John 17:6. We got plenty of time. Hallelujah. John 17:6. Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I like this. Amen. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Right? Early in his ministry, he says, you know, you have a name. And he says, but look, I come in my Father's name. He represented the Father. Amen. 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 He was God. Yes. Amen. Amen. He was speaking. We would say it like this if you have a Bible that has red letters, right? He was speaking red letter. Some of the Bibles make, I know you don't get that on the phone so much, right? But some of the Bibles have Jesus' words printed in red letters. We could say it like this. Jesus didn't say, thus saith the Lord, such and such. He just said, such and such. Amen? A prophet would say, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord is speaking. Thus saith the Lord. But Jesus didn't do that. He said, word. Amen. Oh, brother, sister. Amen. We have to say, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because we're not God. Amen. Brother Branham had to say, thus saith the Lord. Every prophet of God has to say, thus saith the Lord. Amen. We speak his words and we acknowledge they're his words. They're not my words. They're not your words. Amen. Why? Because we represent him. What does it mean to represent somebody? You speak on their behalf. Amen. When they want to know about that person or what's going on with that person or a situation concerning that person, they go to you. You represent them. If a lawyer represents you in court, he speaks for you in court. Amen. The judge doesn't talk to you. The judge talks to your lawyer. That's your representation. They're representing you. Amen. An agent on behalf of someone, you know, they negotiate for them. They represent them. Amen. We come in the name of Christ. Amen. If you call yourself a Christian, if you say, I am his and he is mine and I'm a child of God, I'm born again by the Spirit of God, I'm a Christian, you are saying I'm a representative of Christ. And that means people are going to be looking at you and looking at your life and they are going to be judging Christ based on you. Yeah. Amen. You are carrying his name. Yes. Amen. I remember my father-in-law, Brother Clayton. He's always had a little son. He had lots of words of wisdom. But something that he would always say that was really wise, he would say, you know, if you ever want to know what somebody thinks about you, listen to what their kids say about you. Because the children, they don't have a filter, right? And whatever they hear at home, it's just going to come out, right? So if the kids are really nice to you and friendly to you and they respect you, there's a good chance that their parents also speak goodly of you and respect you, right? But if the kids are running down, right, and they're saying things that they're, but the parents are putting on a good face, well, you know what's really going on because they're hearing it at home. Amen. So the children represent, oh, catch it now. The children represent the family. They're just reflecting what's really going on in that family. They're reflecting their parents. Amen. Come on, those of you that have small children, is that the truth? Amen. Well, brother, sister, we are children. Amen. Amen. We represent him. We represent the family of God. We represent each other, whether you realize it or not. Amen. When you go out, walk the streets of Tucson, you represent this local body. You represent the name of Christ. You represent your brothers and sisters. You represent the family that you're part of. You represent him and the word to the world. What they know of Jesus Christ comes from what you say and what you live. There will be many that will say, Lord, I represented you. I spoke about you. I carried your name. I did many wonderful works in your name. Right? And what did he say? I didn't know you. You were not actually part of my family. But if you're a child, amen, you're part of the family. Amen. Jesus said, the ones that thou gavest me, they are the true representations. Amen. I have manifested my name to them, and you gave me them out of the world. Yes. Right. Amen. From the message, convincing, concerned. So that's the reason some of you, some ministers come and ask me to come to their places. I wait until I feel led to go. Then if I come, I'm just coming in my own name if I come like that. Right? In other words, if he just comes of his own volition, right? His own desire. He said, just to be your friend. Right? Brother so-and-so is a good friend. He invited me to come preach. I want to go preach for my friend. He says, if I do that, I'm coming in my own name. But when I feel led to come, then I can come in the name of the Lord Jesus. Set your feet off that plane. She belongs to you. Amen. Amen. I take it all over in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother, sister, you say, does that work for vacations? Yes. Amen. Amen. You pray about where you go on vacation. Amen. You pray about before you get in the car and drive somewhere or get on a plane and go somewhere. Then you can go in the name of the Lord. You say, would God do that for me on vacation? Yeah, you need vacation. Yes. You need rest. Amen. You're not like our precious pastor has said many times, when you're going on vacation, you're not vacationing from God. You're not going to get away from God for a while and take a break. You're still representing Christ. You're still a child. You're still walking in the Father's will. Amen? So you're praying, Lord, lead me where I should go, when I should go. Pray about it. Amen? He says, then when you do that, you step on that plane, you can do it with confidence. I can take it all over in the name of Jesus Christ. Then you're to meet him out there then because you're God's ambassador then. But out in some church, things here, some friends call you for something, you're just presuming. Again, my presuming, I guess, you're tired listening to that. Amen. And then from adoption, He says, now, if in the United States of this fair land here sent me over to Russia as an ambassador of this nation to Russia, then they have officially sent me to Russia. All the power that is in the United States has is behind me. So he's giving an example. If I was sent as an ambassador, right, the nation that sends me is behind me. And he says, my word is just the same as the United States if I have been recognized as an ambassador. And then if God has sent us to be his ambassadors, all the power that's in heaven, all that God is, all his angels and all of his power stands behind our words. If we are correctly and ordained sent messengers to the people, God has to honor the word, for he has so solemnly written that whatsoever you bind on earth, that will I bind in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, that will I loose in heaven, and I give to thee the keys to the kingdom. Oh, such great promises he's given to the church. Amen. You say, well, I understand that, Brother Andy, this morning where you're talking about, he's talking about being a minister and going out as an ambassador to Christ and preaching the gospel. Well, what about a mother? God has placed you in that position, in that family. Amen. He's put you, mother, there in that family. He's given you those children to be an ambassador. Amen. Not just to the children, but all that you would contact as a result of that. Right? Young mothers, they operate in different groups than those of us that aren't young mothers. Amen. You have other kids and other families and things. And the enemy will come against you. And when the enemy comes against your children, you're an ambassador. You've got all heaven behind you that placed you in that position. You know that God placed you here to be a mother to these children. And when Satan comes against them, then you've got a right to call on all power of heaven. Amen. So I don't think of myself that way. Well, maybe you better start. Amen. We are all ambassadors. We're all representatives of Christ. We've just been placed in different positions in the body of Christ, in different roles in life. But we are ambassadors in those places. And then if God sent you to do that, oh, brother, sister, have confidence. Amen. If you're a wife and God sent you to do that and some demon's coming against your husband, you've got a right, amen, to push back that demon power. Why? Because he sent you to be a wife. If you're a husband and something's trying to come into your family, you're in that position. Amen. God placed you there. Amen. God gave you the ability and will give you wisdom, and he will give you the power of all heaven behind you as an ambassador in that place. Amen. 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 Brother, sister, sometimes we don't take advantage of what God has given to us. We try and do it on our own strength and we can't. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go forward, amen, manifesting his name, amen. Speaking about his name, putting on display his word. The Bible says the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The name of Jesus will defeat every demon in hell. Every evil power has to bow to that name. Amen. Amen. We don't need men coming in their own name. We don't need churches coming in the name of that church. In the name of a prophet. Yeah. Amen. His name. His name is all we need. Jesus manifested the Father's name to the men that were given him out of the world. the predestinated. They had been given to him. Amen? He says, thine they were. Amen. Oh my. But thou gavest them me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Whew. Brother, sister, that's powerful. Amen? Amen? Thine they were, now they're his. Do you see yourself there? Amen. They belonged to the Father. Amen. He gave them to the Son. Right. They were never lost. Amen. They were always kept and held. Thank you. Now, just looking in the natural, at some of these guys, they were a mess. Right? Right? But he said, thine they were, they gave them to me. Yes. Amen? They never belonged to the devil.
Amen.
They belonged to God. Oh, brother, sister, we could just get that this morning. Amen. The predestinated children of God have always belonged to Him. They never belonged to the devil. Oh, sure, the devil had you thinking that. He had you believing that, yeah, that this is me, this muck and mire of the worldliness and sin that I'm living in. This is me, and this is who I am. But that wasn't you.
Right. Right.
Amen. You've always belonged to God.
Amen.
Why? Because they were His. No other reason. Amen. They weren't smarter, better class, more intelligent, better looking, stronger, any of those things. He doesn't mention those. He says, you were His. And they said, and He said, because they were thine and thou gavest to me, He says, and they have kept your word.
Right.
Something in them
right.
said, that's the truth.
Right.
Jesus of Nazareth walked across their path and said, follow me. And something in them said, that's the truth.
Sure.
That's me. That's for me.
Amen.
Amen. Even when the going got rough and things were said and many walked away and many left and they said, we can't. This is a hard saying. We cannot abide with this. We cannot understand it. They stayed.
Yes.
That's right.
They didn't understand why. But they stayed.
Amen.
And he said, will you also leave? And he said, where do we go?
Yeah.
Thou alone have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
You, Messiah, you are the fulfillment of the word of God. You're the fulfillment of what the prophets have been preaching about all these years. They kept his word.
Amen.
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 Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word.
Amen.
Brother, sister, I don't know about you, but wouldn't you love to hear Jesus say that about you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. If they could have been listening and said, they kept his word. Shh. You're going to hear it one day.
Right.
Amen. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Hallelujah. They have kept thy word. Now, brother, sister, we're going to show you here, just with the little time that we have left, we're going to show you here. He's not speaking of just them. He's speaking of you too.
Amen.
He's speaking prophetically of you this morning. Can you hear him saying it? They have kept thy word. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The going got tough, but they kept thy word, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Many winds of doctrine came and shook. Amen. Demons came and tried to cast doubt, but they kept thy word. Oh, hallelujah. This morning, brother, sister, it's not the Son and in the man Christ Jesus who's speaking that. It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because now it's the Holy Spirit, amen, that's become our tutor.
Yes.
Amen. He's the one that has become our comforter. He's the one that's reporting on the sons of God.
Right.
Amen. He's the one that says, yes, Father, they've kept thy word. Amen. Oh, let that be said of me, brother, sister. Amen. Even when the worst demon in hell comes against you. Amen. And he says, just curse God and die. Curse God and go back into the world. Go back into the things that you know you want to do. Amen. And something says, no, I want to do those things. There's a pull, but there's something in me that won't let me go back. Amen. Because I've been changed. I'm not that old person anymore. Amen. And the Holy Spirit says, Father, they kept thy word. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. They kept thy word. Amen. John 17:7, he says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Amen. Everything that Jesus did, every power that he displayed, he says, I do nothing but what the Father shows me first. It all comes from God. Amen. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Oh, brother, sister, can't you just hear him praying this now? Amen. This is him praying right before he's going to go, amen, to die for you and I. And he's saying, Lord, I've done what you told me to do. I've given them the words which thou gavest me. I've been faithful to the commission. Amen. And, oh, hallelujah, they have received them. Amen. It wasn't in vain. Amen. You think about John the Baptist when he starts out. And the word of God comes to him. And God begins to reveal to John what he's got to do. And what he's got to say. And the things that he's got to preach. And the first thing that probably comes to your mind when you do that. Because I know as a minister, the first thing that comes to your mind is, are they going to receive it? Is anybody going to listen? Amen. Will there be someone that will hear it? But look at Jesus here at the end of his earthly ministry saying, I preached the word, O God, and they received it.
Amen.
Amen. They have received the words which thou gavest me and have known surely that I came out from thee. They believe. They're real believers, Lord. Amen. They're solid. They're 100%, Lord. They believe this message that I've brought to them.
Amen.
And they have believed that thou didst send me. Oh, God. Amen. What a weight lifted off. Amen. What a triumphant prayer. Amen. God, you gave them to me and you sent me with a word. And God, they received it. There were those on the earth that heard the word and they believed it. And they're ready to walk in this word. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Not only that, he's uniting himself. He's tying himself to the believers of his message. Amen. Praying to the Father. He's reporting about their obedience. Amen. As well as his own obedience. Amen. I did what you said and they believed. He's now moving away from being a prophet to being the priest. Amen. He's moving into his priesthood. But the ones who simply believe and accept, the ones that he's talking about that say, I believe, they didn't understand it. Man, they didn't understand much. I'll tell you that, right? They were asking questions you could tell. They didn't really understand really what was happening, but yet they believed. Amen? They believed and they walked in it. They were obedient. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. Amen? If you stay with the word. Now, physically, they were staying with him. They were right with him. Physically, amen? Still walking with him, even though many had walked away. And this morning, you know, you're still with him.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. You're still here. You might have walked away for a little while, but you're here now. That's what matters. Amen. You had opportunities to turn your back on God, to quit on God, but you're here standing. I'll tell you, brother and sister, one of the things that does my heart the most good, one of the things that I always look forward to when I get the opportunity to go to meetings, special meetings or camp meetings or whatever, is to see people that are standing for God. Amen. You know things have come into their life. You know the hardships that they've faced. And here they are. Yeah. Amen. They might be beat up. They might have black eyes. They might be bruised spiritually, but they're there standing. Standing for the word of God, saying, I don't care what Satan's thrown at me, I still believe this word. Amen. Identified with him, not ashamed of Christ, still standing. Brother, sister, the reason I appreciate that so much is that's the power of God. Only God can do that. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit reports back. They're standing for you. Amen. Amen. They're living for you. The enemy has tried his best, but they're still standing. Amen. They're still holding on to your word. Amen. Amen. Let me just read a series of statements here. And we'll try and pull over here. With this, Abraham and his seed, he said, the father searched out to find the very best man he could find. He's talking about a tutor, right? Because that's his son, and that's what's going to fall heir to him afterwards. So he would hunt up a good tutor. And not a tutor that would tell a lie and say, oh, your church is doing just fine. Your little son, he's doing just fine, when he isn't. He's a little rascal. That's too much the trouble today. So he's speaking about in the Old Testament when a father would have a great estate and he would have a son who is going to be heir to the estate, and he needs someone to help raise him. And so he would go out and find someone of good character who could tutor the son and could report back to the father on his progress, right? And tutor him up in a way that the son would grow into a worthy heir to the estate. Amen. So he's likening this tutor. He says, that's too much the trouble today with too many of our bishops and so forth, all man-made tutors. Your church is doing all right, but it's a lie. It's not. Having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, there's something wrong somewhere. So when the father got the very best tutor he could find, the best raiser, now how that tutor must have blushed when he walked up in front of the father and said, oh, he said, how's my son doing? And the father was busy and had a great kingdom and many places and tenants and business to take care of. He said, how that tutor must have felt to walk up, knowing he was hired by the father, walk up and say, oh, your son, he's horrible. Hey, chip off the old block. No. Right? He's horrible. I just can't make him listen to a thing. He's going to have his own hard-headed way. Most hard-headedest kid I ever seen in my life. He won't listen. I've got your book of laws here. I laid them right down to him. But he knows what he's going to do. And his old man might have run it one way, but he's going to run it another way. Your son is a rebel. He's rebellious. He's going his own way. He wants to do his own thing. He doesn't care about his father's will at all. He says how that tutor must have blushed when he had to come and tell his father that, and how the father must have felt about it too, and how the father must feel today. I hope this don't hurt just enough to make you straighten out, for my hour is soon at hand. Amen. And then in another place he says, now Paul said, lest I preach the gospel and be a castaway myself. He never comes into his inheritance. That boy's always a son, but he's a renegade son. Right? He's talking about the one with the... He won't be obedient. He won't listen. He won't walk in the Father's ways. He says he's always a son, but he's a renegade son. But what if the tutor walks up and says, hey, you know what? That boy of yours, excuse the expression, hope it ain't sacrilegious, he's a chip off the old block. You know what? He's exactly like you. He does just exactly the same thing you did. I tell you, when he sees anything wrong, he stands right there and calls it out. You can put your confidence in him. How the father can say, yeah, that's my son. That's my son. He said, I'm still in Abraham's seed now. I ain't left that. He said, that's my son. You know what the father does after that boy becomes proved to be a boy? Further down, he says, you know what happens? You know what takes place? They have a ceremony for that son, and they take that son out, put him on him a special garment, and they put him in a public place and perform a ceremony of adoption, and they place that son. And from that time, that son's name is just as good on the check as his father's is. Is that right? Now, God did the same with his son. Amen. Amen. Brother, sister, that's the Holy Spirit's work, amen, is to tutor us and report. Why? Because we represent Christ. He has identified himself with us. That's what he's doing in this prayer. He's saying, they're mine. You gave them to me. They are mine. Amen. Now I belong to Jesus. Now I belong to him. Amen. We're his. We belong to him. That means we are a reflection of him. Right. Amen. That's why we want a good report. Amen. We want the report of the Holy Spirit to be there standing on your word. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I come in my Lord's name. Enemy, if the enemy attacks you, I come in my Lord's name. The enemy attacks anybody in the family of God, we've come in our Lord's name. Where my Lord is not welcome, I am not welcome, because I have come in his name. I'm living in his name. In word and deed, I do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. John chapter 17, verse 9. I pray for them. I'm going to try and wrap this up here. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And I want to skip ahead here to 20. Get a little bit out of order here, but to show you that he's not just talking about those that were with him physically. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, sister, Jesus prayed for you. Amen. He prayed for you. He's received you. Amen. When you come in his name and you surrender to him, he receives you and he says, I have given all the Father has given me, I have. They're mine. Amen. And he prayed for you. He's become our high priest, interceding on our behalf of our weakness. Amen. Of our weakness. When you feel weak, you run to him. You don't run away from him. Oh, I failed. I blew it. I messed up. You don't. That's not the time to run away. That's the time to run to him. He intercedes for our weakness, for our infirmities, which means weakness. Amen? We don't need Mary to intercede for us. Right? He's our high priest. We don't need a church to intercede for us. And yes, we don't even need a priest or a pastor or a preacher to intercede for us. You don't need anybody to intercede for you but him. Amen. You go directly to him. He is your high priest. Now, yes, we will happily pray with you. And we will put our faith, we'll unite our faith together with you. And sometimes that's what it takes to break the bonds of the enemy so that you can break out in faith and reach the high priest. But at the end of it, it's got to be you and him. We have a high priest, the Bible says, who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, the weakness. In our weakest moment, in our weakest time, when we feel like we can't go on and we feel like a failure, that's when he's your high priest. Yeah. Yeah. Is this you in verse 20? When you read that in verse 20, do you think he's praying for me? He's thinking about me.
Amen.
And brother, sister, I don't believe it was in some generic sense. Well, I know there's people coming, you know, they're going to believe on him or whatever. Right? It's not generic. It's not faceless orbs. Right? You know what I mean by that, right? Faceless people, people without names, just people. I don't believe it was that way with him. He was a prophet. He was God.
Amen.
I believe he knew you and saw you and knew your name.
Amen.
He knew what you would be and what you would face. Amen?
Right.
Those that believe on me through their word, I pray for them. He's about to go to the cross. That's where he's headed. That's what's next for him. He's going to go and pray through and have the weight of sin of the world heaped upon him. And he's going to go to the cross with you on his mind. Praying for you. Thinking about you. He says, Father, I pray for them. No, I'm not praying for just these. I'm praying for all that I know are coming. I know the great bountiful family. Amen. I know that there's a church, there's a call out, there's a bride. Amen. That I am going to be dying for. I'm praying for them. And we were on his mind. Amen. There's another song that goes that way, right? When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You were on his mind as he began to pray to God, as he began to move into that priesthood, began to move into that intercessory work. If no one else in the world ever prays for you, Jesus prayed for you. But I'm here to tell you there's others. Amen. Because he doesn't just stop there, but he moves on brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and friends and other brothers and sisters in the church to pray for you.
Amen. That's right.
The reason you're here today is because somebody prayed for you. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's how Jesus works. He's working through his body. That spirit of Christ that was on display where he was praying for you, now he moves on others.
Amen.
That's his work through you to pray for somebody.
Amen.
I don't just pray for these, but I pray for those. I pray for whoever you put in my heart, oh God. That's manifesting Christ. Amen. He's looking for somebody to pray through. Amen. He wants to pray for someone through you today.
Amen.
The Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's part of that's part of manifesting the glory of God. Amen. Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
He knows your problem. Even if nobody else in the world knows or understands what you're going through, he knows.
Amen.
He understands.
Yes.
Amen. And he's interested in your problem and he prayed for you. Amen. I want everybody to say, Jesus prayed for me. He prayed for me. Amen. Amen. Even when I was an enemy to God. Amen. He knew that I would be that and he prayed for me. Hallelujah. John 17:10, and all mine are thine. They belong to God. And thine are mine. They all. I love this possessiveness, right?
Amen.
I belong to him.
Amen.
All that are mine are thine, and thine are mine. They belong to God.
Amen.
Do you believe you're his this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Then what does Satan have to do with you? Satan, what do you have to do with me? I am his.
Amen.
Amen. He says, and now, or he says, and I am glorified in them.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Glorified in me. Okay, you've got to say it with me. He is glorified in me. It's about what it sounded like from here. He said, I am glorified in them. Amen? He is glorified in me and you and you. He's glorified in all of us. And now I am no more in the world. So he's leaving this earth, right? But these, they're in the world. He says, I come to these as I came from God. I go back to God. He's leaving this earthly struggle. But he says, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Keeping power.
Amen.
This is him praying for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Keep them through thy name. He prayed for you that the power of God would keep you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, let's finish this up this morning. Jehovah Jireh says, ask you, Christian friend, I ask you, sinner friend, what if he was dying tonight? Could America save you? Oh, no. I'll answer that one. Maybe back then it was a little more plausible, but not today. America can't even save herself. Could America save you? Where will you be in 10,000 years from tonight? Where will you be maybe in the morning? Your destination might be sealed tonight. You don't know. Let me warn you, get right with God. Get a spirit, get acquainted with the heavenly things. That the Spirit comes down from heaven where holiness stands and where the angels of God stand, where Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of God in majesty and glory and holiness and power of God. Then you walk as a stranger here. Because you're an alien here. You're not of this world. You are not of this world, little children. Neither am I of this world. I pray for you. Amen? Isn't that what he said? He says, I'm not of this world. They're not of this world. But they're in this world. But I'm praying for them that through thy name that they would overcome this world. He says, see, Jesus prayed for his church that they would not be of the world. They are not of the world. I don't care if you're not American, you're not Swedish, you're not European, you're a Christian. And if you're a Christian, your spirit is from up there so that it makes you live holy and want to be holy and want to act like Christ and act like God. And your whole desire is on heaven and not on the world.
Amen.
You stand with me this morning. John 17:12, Jesus said to the musicians, if you'd come, while I was in the world, or while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. So those disciples that were walking with him, they were kept by his name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Spirit Scripture might be fulfilled. But all that God gave him, he kept. Amen. Now he's not going to suddenly lose one now. He kept them all. They didn't keep themselves. They didn't make it on their own strength. He kept them. And brother, sister, I'm here to tell you that he'll keep you too. He's not going to lose a one. Kept by the power of Almighty God. Why? Because we're his children. There's a table. Amen. There's a table that's been set in glory. And there's only so many seats at that table. And there won't be one child missing from that dinner. Amen. Oh, we just cherish the times when families can gather around the table and enjoy fellowship and be part of a family. But brother, sister, there's a meal coming. There's a great wedding supper. Amen. And there won't be one missing. Every single place is set. Every child, all that the Father hath given me, he said, they'll be there on that day. Amen. That's the keeping power of this gospel. Amen. That's what you've been called to this morning. Amen? We don't want to be like the parable where Jesus gave. Remember where he said there was the man who had a wedding and he said, let's put out the invitation and make the call. And many were invited. And some said, well, I'm too busy, you know, doing this. I've bought some oxen, or I've done this, and I've bought some land and I need to go check on it. They had other things that were more important to them than being there at that table. But brother, sister, I want to say this morning, there's nothing. There's nothing that's worth on this earth that's worth missing that. Amen. Hallelujah. He will keep you this morning. We're all testimonies of his grace. We're all testimonies of the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we love you so much, Lord. Father, you're so good to us, Lord. Lord, and forgive us for the times when we just fail to acknowledge it, Lord, when we fail to just scream out and cry out and say, God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for my life. I thank you for my health, Lord. I thank you for feet to walk the earth. I thank you for all the things that you've given me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for making me a part of your family. I thank you, Lord, that I can hear your word, oh God, that I have spiritual ears to be able to hear and spiritual eyes to be able to see. I thank you, Lord, for overcoming power. I thank you, Lord, that you prayed for me. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you've chosen me and predestinated me to, oh God, to reveal your glory. We thank you, Lord, this morning. May the people of God raise up and thank you. Thank our Father. Lord, I pray that you just bless your children this morning. Lord, bless them and anoint them. Father, I pray that you would break the enemy's chains this morning. Lord, I pray that the goodness of God, Lord, would just flow down into this place right now, God. Break every chain of the enemy. Break the power, Lord, of the enemy that would try and tell your children they're no good or they're not worth anything. That you're not mindful of them, that you're not moving in their life. We rebuke those spirits in Jesus' name. God, may your goodness just flow through the building this morning. Lord, and touch every child. Touch every heart, oh God. May every heart be surrendered to you, Lord. Lord, if there's one this morning that hasn't fully surrendered, may they just give up this morning. May they just lift their hands and surrender and say, oh God, you're my Father. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. Lord, show me, Lord, that you're my Father, that I'm part of your family. Father, I pray that you just move right now. May your Spirit, oh God, just anoint your children, Lord. Lord, just as we surrender, as we just give ourselves to you, Lord, how we love you. I pray, Lord, that you just bring encouragement, Lord. Bring strength, Lord. Bring power, Lord, to your children. Overcoming power this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, brother, sister, let's just worship him a bit, shall we? Can we just thank him and honor him and, oh, just let go and let God this morning. Let him have his way, brother, sister. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. He's worthy. He's so good. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, you've got a bright future. Amen. Amen. You're a victor this morning. You're victorious. You're not defeated. I don't care what the situation looks like. You're not defeated. Hallelujah. There's only one that's defeated, and that's our enemy. Amen. And his angels, they're the ones that are defeated this morning. But the children of the living God, the church of God, it's not defeated this morning. Amen. They're walking on in victory. Amen. Why? Because he's walking before them. It's his power, his glory that's being revealed in them. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. What do we see here? Be glorified.
Go ahead.
Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Let's sing it again. Be glorified. Be your desire this morning. Amen. Oh, be glorified in the heavens. Be glorified in the earth. Be glorified in this temple. Jesus, Jesus, be thou glorified. Be glorified. Your testimony this morning, amen, that you want the world to see him and that he would be lifted up, that he would be glorified. Amen. Too often, brother, sister, we pray selfishly. Amen. We approach God, we approach our Father because we want something. We have something that we need, and it's okay to pray for our needs, but first place should be, Lord, be glorified. Lord, you're not my errand boy. You're my Father. Amen. But if you're in his, walking in his word, working according to his plan, you've got a right to go to our Father and say, Lord, my enemy's trying to stop me. My enemy's put this sickness in my way. He's trying to keep me from my inheritance. Oh, God, be glorified. Defeat this enemy in my life. Show that you are God. Let everybody see. Let everybody know that you are God. Amen. That Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. That he's not dead, but he's alive. That he's living this morning. That he's living in me. Amen. That his resurrecting power is still the same today as it always has been. Amen. That's how we glorify God. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we sing that? He's alive. He's alive and well. Living in me to tell. Amen. Amen. Well,
he's alive and well. Living me to tell the world that he is, he's still the same this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday.